at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Oh, what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We've got a guest today. Our guest is Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you, Mark?
We're doing okay.
Good.
You know, it's kind of weird for me to, I'm always used to having that show that comes on before mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little weird. I'm still not.
It was
Dave, right? Dave?
Yeah, I think it was Dave Scorpio. I think they should put something in there. I don't know why it's dead air, but maybe they'll do something about that at some point. Makes it a little bit better.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's just very weird.
I've noticed a lot of dead air lately. Of course, we haven't had the holidays, but nonetheless, it's just it's nice to have something on there.
Have you heard from Madeline much lately?
Yeah, she contacts me.
Okay.
She's on my Skype. Good. Yeah, I have her on my show at night sometimes. If she's not too tired, once in a blue moon, she'll show up.
Yeah. I was wondering.
Yeah, she's fine.
Well, that's good. I haven't heard from her much. We used to... She seems real open to the Meyer material and just a lot of the things that I would cover. So that was always fun to have her around.
Oh, yeah. She's good. Well, she's busy with her grandkids and all that, too. You know?
Yeah.
So scheduling is really a big deal. I know she said that Saturdays were hard for her. So
scheduling is a challenge, period.
Especially if you do things for free.
Exactly. But I have this lady that I work with sometimes. Do you know Michelle?
Yes, I remember her. Yeah, I know who she is. Yeah.
She helps schedule this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I get off. I get where I'm not doing that. But I'd like to get that rolling again, I guess.
Hey,
lately, I've been back to studying the Meyer material.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. So I was wondering if you don't mind, I think I might take the first half an hour here.
Sure, go ahead.
Talk a little bit about Billy, and maybe I'll show a little bit of this reincarnation movie. There's a there's this guy from Figu, Canada, and his name is Michael Utebrook. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly or not. I think I've had him on the show a couple of times. But he has a really, really well done video on reincarnation. And I might be able to, since I can share my screen now and play some of this, might be kind of interesting. But I thought I would, I always go back to the beginning and talk a little bit about Billy. Last week, I played a little bit about from the Randy Winters stuff. Have you ever heard of him? Do you know who he is?
I don't think so.
He's he was probably the most knowledgeable guy in terms of the Meyer information that I've ever came across.
Okay.
And, yeah, him and the FIGU, Billy's organization, had a kind of a falling out. I don't know exactly what about. It was like I think Randy was making money or something.
Well, heaven forbid, yeah.
You know, talking about the information, I guess.
Mm-hmm, right.
Anyway, I don't know that story. I don't know how much of that's true or anyway, but that's a whole different thing. But all right, let me roll for a little bit.
Okay.
If you have any questions, please jump in.
Sure.
And then I figured for the last hour and a half, we can go talk a little bit more about current events. And you've probably seen the guy from the NFL that died, right?
I heard about it. I thought I thought he came back to life. No.
Well, yeah, he had some brain activity. Last I heard.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Did you see him collapse and all that?
No, I didn't see any of that. But okay. I heard about it. Yeah.
It's just a real common thing. There's about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, directed energy weapons will do that, but they want to deny it. Now I'm still going to stick to my own assessment, saying it's directed energy weapons. It's a primer for that.
That's interesting.
I can prove that. I can prove it. I don't know why people can't prove it. I can prove it. That's I can prove it causes seizures, and it causes all kinds of health issues.
Yeah.
So.
Who was the lady? Oh, gosh, man. The memory's not doing me well. The lady that did the she did so many UFO, ET kind of things. Carrie, is that her name?
Carrie Cassidy?
Yeah. Didn't she get hit by an energy weapon?
She said she did. Yeah. She kind of gave her a mini stroke or something. It's possible. I can't confirm it. I mean, I don't know. But it did do some damage. She did have some facial issues. Yeah. Like she had, she'd been hit on the side of her head.
And I think.
I know it does do that. It can do that. It can cause aneurysms, seizures, blood clots, vertigo, vision issues, blurred vision. It can cause all kinds of things. You can basically be passing out. You'll be fine 1 minute. Next minute, you're on the floor. This is what they're doing with direct energy weapons. It's worse than the Ivana stuff. So, and they're doing it. They're deploying it right over the heads of the American people right now. And I can confirm that, too. So they say they're not. They're liars.
Now, you know Alfred Weber, right?
I don't know him personally. I know who he is. Yeah.
He said he got hit by an energy weapon, too.
Possible. Yeah, I'm sure they did. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Okay. But I mean, with me, I'm a little different because I've been interconnected with technology. So I'm a little animal that's a little bit different. You know, I'm not somebody outside the technology. I'm somebody who's inside the tech without being part of any department. So I'm just a little different. Mm. So I can assess it. That's how I can tell when they're around.
When he was at Stanford Research Institute, I think Alfred got hit by an energy weapon then.
Probably. Yeah, they all do. You know, even Dr. Falkoff's, what was his name? Boyfriend, husband, whatever.
Oh.
He got hit too. That's what caused his heart attack. According to her. So all kinds of stuff.
Are you talking about the white-haired guy that did the research on Mars?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm losing his name right now.
It's not clicking for me. It's Richard, isn't it?
Richard Hoagland.
C. Hoagland, yeah.
Yeah, gosh.
So, yeah.
Is he dead?
No, he's still. I think he's still alive, but I know because I had a deep conversation with her for hours on the phone about that. And yeah, he had to roll out of the way of the directed energy weapon. Still did its damage to him. These guys are real nasty. Okay. Anybody who thinks this is fantasy or conspiracy, you're sadly mistaken. Talk to people who've been there. And it's usually to warn you, to harm you, to indoctrinate you, to control, manipulate your brainwave activity, or to destroy you. Right now, on the timeline, they're using it for weapons of destruction and murder. So they're not even taking their time trying to, you know, slowly kill people. Right now, they're just trying to take them down. And they're going to blame it on other stuff.
You know, I don't know that they – so they hit Richard Hoagland with an energy whip in a hotel.
Yep.
And he was doing the research on Mars. I don't
– Oh, he has so much access. I mean, yeah, but he was also a middleman with NASA. You know, he's he's in between the realms, but still, he has a lot of data. He has a lot of gnosis of information. He's good at decoding.
Do you think they wanted to suppress that Mars?
Yeah, he was going to expose something. I don't know if it was Mars. I can't remember now which topic it was he was talking about. But, yeah, something along the lines of trying to shut him down. And that was one of the ways to do it. So, and she's gone now. You know, it's still suspicious how Dr. Falkov is gone. She had a cancer. And she was beautiful and so healthy and so vibrant. I mean, I got to see her right before she left. And she looked gorgeous. She looked like an angel before she died. I mean, still, I can't believe she's gone. So, yeah. That's really wild.
Dr. Falkov.
Dr. Robin Falkov. She had a show here, Event Horizons.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah.
I used to be on her show all the time talking to her, and then we'd have conversations all the time off air. And yeah, it's really unfortunate. You know, people have passed away. We're all on our way out in the illusion of. I think you realize that. We're all on the train out of here. People think we're going to stay alive. I'm, you know, I can't speak for everybody. I'm just saying I think we're on borrowed time, the illusion of time.
Wow.
So.
Dr. Falkov had the red hair, right?
Yeah. Right.
She seems
very
really...
pretty. She was just gorgeous. Very lovely lady. Very intelligent. Into animals and healing and science.
Very much a lot of compassion towards animals.
Oh, yeah. She was a big animal lover. That's where we always had good conversations. But, yeah, she's something else. She's missed.
And Richard Hoagland, you just don't hear from him anymore.
No, he's busy. I haven't really looked into what he's up to, but I'm sure he's still doing his show and all his other stuff. And, you know, he was there as an advisor. He used to be an advisor on Coast to Coast, wasn't he?
I never see his stuff on YouTube anymore.
I don't know. To be honest with you, I haven't been tracking him, so I can't tell you. But, you know, he has some good information out there in between the realms. If you know what to look for, he has some good data.
Yeah.
I don't need to hog your half an hour. I just
No. I kind of got to go with the flow. If I don't go with the flow, it feels unnatural.
Well, you do what you want to do. I'm here in the background.
All right. Let me jump in here.
Okey-doke.
Billy Meyer, as everyone probably knows, is a man in his 80s. He's like 85 years old. He lives 35 kilometers east of Zurich in a tiny mountain village they call Hinterschmidt-Rudi, and it's in the pine forests and the snow-capped mountains of Switzerland. Billy grew up farther north in Bulac, Switzerland, in a place near the Eisenmoser and Bruder Mountains and near the Glatt Valley. And when Billy was about 5 years old, back in 1943 or so, he would get this cooling sensation on his forehead, and he would be contacted telepathically by a man named Svath, who was an extraterrestrial human from a planet called Era, and Era was in a solar system, but not the Pleiadian solar system, actually in the Pleiaran solar system. So that's one thing. And even the Meyer people for many years always talked about the Pleiadians. But really the people that Billy had contacts with were the Pleiaran. They were from the planet Era. And my understanding was that solar system was terraformed about 230,000 years earlier under the leadership of what they call is an Ishwish, or a king of wisdom. The man's name was Asael, and he brought thousands, tens of thousands of people to this solar system, which was, it had planets, but they needed to be developed. So they used a kind of terraforming to develop these planets. And one of those planets, Era, is very, very much like Earth. And the Pleiaran came to the Earth in our ancient past and got trees and plants and animals and brought them back to their world. So eventually it became very much, Era became very much like another Earth. A little bigger, a little more powerful, gravity, but a lot of the same plants and animals. And Svath was from Era, and he came to the Earth to mentor Billy Meyer for 11 years. So starting in around 1943, Svoth would land a very unusual silvery pear-shaped craft in Switzerland in a place called Bulak. And this young boy that they called Billy would go out to the craft. The first time he was too scared to get on board the ship. The second time he was brought into the ship, and Billy would always say it felt as if he was being lifted up by ghostly hands. And Svoth took him up some 70 kilometers above the earth. And the most interesting parts of their conversation, at least from my perspective, were when Svoth would talk about Billy's previous lives. And Edward Albert Meyer is his real name. He was called Billy just because he liked Billy the Kid and Western movies and that. But Svoth told Billy that he had been in his previous lives the people that we call Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. In each one of these lifetimes, he would teach something called the teaching of the spirit, and it defined certain natural laws. And one of the first laws is the law of brotherly love. And Billy wrote something called Love Letter 27, and it was about the love of creation. And creation is basically the universe that we live in. And one of the, there was a couple passages that were really beautiful. One says something about the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. And the creation radiates love. Love is the highest principle in all creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, and love will forever be the purpose of our existence. Love and wisdom go together, and the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. So that's the first creational natural law, love. It means to love and help live, not just live and let live, which most people say, but live and help live. The second creational natural law is striving. And striving will be, you know, any kind of work that you do, I think, would fall within the definition of striving, even cleaning out your garage or organizing your closet or your day job or working out or taking care of your plants and animals and children, if you have any. That all falls within striving. And what we need to understand, I think, is that striving produces satisfaction and happiness. We think in our world, in our mind's eye, that, boy, happiness is fun, playing games. Happiness is stimulation. Happiness is things like, no, real true satisfaction comes from our striving and our work. And in fact, our universe, down to its very core, down to the very molecules in it, is dedicated to the striving. So the universe is always striving to improve itself. The Billy Meyer teachings call it a Wesenheit. Now, we're a Wesen. As a human being, or a cat or a dog is a Wesen. We have personalities and we're thinking beings. But the Wesenheit, the universal consciousness, has no personality, at least according to the Meyer teaching. And I find that very interesting. So in some ways, it would be more like a tree or a rock. And they even say that the rock of the earth, I believe, is also considered to be living. I don't know that I'd swear to that, but I believe that's the case. So anyway, that's the law of striving. So if you're ever down and out and feeling blue or whatever, striving is your key to get out of that. You have to find what you want to work on. That's the decision you have to make. Another Krishna natural law is called the law of harmony. And the law of harmony deals with thinking in a neutral, positive way. So we always should be a little past the neutral, a little bit to the positive in our thinking. Let me give you examples of how not to think. So, for example, never think in terms of anxiety and doubt. Anxiety and doubt never lead to progress and success. Consequently, nothing that has a positive value ever comes from them. Rather, only that which is negative at all levels. So if you can avoid anxiety and doubt, that's a very, very good thing. Now, I get as much anxiety and doubt as anybody, so this is one of the areas I still have to work on. But the goal is to have things like, I'm confident. Tell yourself, I am, in the present tense. Say, I am confident. I am optimistic. I'm relaxed. I'm confident. I am the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. I do not allow my thoughts to drift. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. I nurture my thoughts. I strengthen my thoughts. I clarify my thoughts. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, anything can come to fruition. Now, that's a hard one to really wrap your mind around. But through your thoughts, anything can come to fruition. So we want to have these neutral, positive thoughts, and that's what keeps us moving and helps keep our life working in a positive way. Now, there are another creational natural law. We could talk about the law of harmony, the law of neutral positive thinking. We could talk about that all day. It's mostly written in a book called Makdergadakan, The Might of Thoughts. Striving is found in a book, The Art zu Leben, or The Way to Live. The next thing is having a system and order in your life, having a calendar, a schedule. That is very, very important to try to do that. And it creates a kind of synergy. If you can do that, it'll help you in many, many ways. So it's called system and order. Think about the universe. Think about the stars. Think about how those things are ordered. So that's another creational natural law. And it, don't underestimate it. It's very, very important. Now, the next creational natural law is the law of reincarnation. And did you have anything you wanted to throw in, Solaris? Are you still there?
Yes, I am. No, you're doing fine.
Okay. We could play a little bit of Michael Utebrook here, but let me see if I can turn on our screen sharing and the sound share. Just a second. Sharing the screen. And I think over here is the sound. So there we go. I'm going to move this back a little bit. And I'm going to play this. And then I'll ask you. Now, this is interesting. Can you see this spinning? Isn't that odd?
Yes, I can. Yeah, I can. Hopefully everybody can hear you on Studio A.
I'll start here. Well, let me jump it back a little bit. Okay, I think it's got it. Okay, he's going to start with the creation. I talked about that a little bit. And I want us to chat a little bit about this in a little bit. So I'm going to let this play for probably about 3 to 5 minutes, then I'll interrupt it. And then we can chat a little bit about it. And then we'll probably move on to current events like we normally do. Here we go.
Whatever the...
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. What is important is that it is not a human being standing up in some heaven somewhere judging you. It's not imaginary replacement for God, it's creation is a neutral energy that's neither male nor female, and it is the universal consciousness. It is source of everything in this universe, and it needs to evolve. Okay. Next. Okay, so how does the spirit form evolve? Okay, in order for the spirit form to evolve, it creates the overall consciousness block, and in turn, the overall consciousness block creates something called a consciousness block. And I'll explain all of these terms and how they work together. Consciousness block is made up of the consciousness, the personality, the ego. That's what goes into the human being and to gather values in material life. See, do I have a little... The I, the ego, represents the personality, respectively the material consciousness. It independently makes perceptions, researches, explores things and facts, consciously learns and processes values. Okay. Day 21. Day 21 is when the spirit form and the consciousness block enter the fetus. Not before.
Pretty interesting stuff, huh?
It's pretty much the norm for mystery school teachings. I mean, the whole way he's describing it.
Yeah, it is similar to other. Who was the lady, the mystery school teacher? What was her name? Blavatsky?
Madame Blavatsky. Yeah, she was one. Occult teaching, yeah.
Is she one of the ones you're talking about?
No, it's just kind of like the norm, though. I mean, intelligent energy of the cosmos is just a 101 for a lot of people who are on the path of the mystic, you know? So to me, it's not unheard of. It just kind of seems like just a normal thing. People should know.
Yeah. Should be taught in schools, right?
Well,
maybe.
I would send my child to a private mystery school. You know.
I like Michael Udebrook, and you get some of the details here, which I like. About the overall consciousness block. So I think he probably said that the spirit form creates the overall consciousness block, and the overall consciousness block creates the consciousness block, which contains the ego, the personality. I'm leaving something out here, but let's play a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. For that. That's exactly when the heart begins to beat.
Well, the spirit four comes in, mm-hmm. spirit four, 21 days, and that's when the heart becomes to beat and all that.
On day 21. So, let's see what happens here. And the realm of the spirit form is in the superior colliculus. And from there, it spreads itself out this is a internet swipe from somewhere, but it's not actually accurate, but it just there to give you an idea that the spirit form spreads itself out throughout the entire body. But it is unaffected by the material realm. So that means that if, for example, I have mental illness, that does not affect the spirit form in any way. If I have an accident and I lose an arm or a leg, the spirit form is not affected because the spirit form is of a fine material energy. So if I was to lose my arm, even though the spiriform is throughout the entire body, it immediately retreats. It's not harmed at all. Yeah.
I didn't really love a lot of the questions mm-hmm. that he got. I think the questions were just like interruptions more than anything.
Yeah, they should have questions at the end of the presentation. Normally that would be the appropriate
thing to do. Because it's kind of disrupting a mm-hmm. little bit. But, I mean, it didn't, you know, it wasn't so bad, but it would have been better.
Well, people are like that.
I think people sometimes just interrupt.
They do, yeah.
They really don't
because they
have
break the flow of the energy. Yeah, that's why I never like that. Yeah, go ahead.
They really don't have that much to say. Or
peanut gallery mainly. Sorry, but it's true.
Well, okay. As a half an hour, I kept it to a half an hour.
No, you don't have to. It's entirely your show.
I'm glad you didn't feel like it was like, you know, too much.
No,
that's good.
It's fine.
Let me see if I can.
You know, one thing I wanted to mention to you about that, you know, the heartbeat and everything else, your body's electrical. It's an electrical holographic design work to some degree. So think about when the electricity and the harmonization of the field is usually in connection to the earth grid. Keep that in mm-hmm. mind. Right now, everything is being weaponized to that grid. So people's heartbeats are going to become more irregular if they're connected in. They're going to have to calibrate to a different light body level. So heads up on that. That's one of the reasons, in my opinion, people are getting, you know, worse off when it comes out of their field or their biofields because of, first, the direct energy weapons, but also how everything is so weaponized and overlaid on the grid.
There's so much, isn't there?
Well, it's at the point where I'm so burned out. You have no idea how burned out I am.
Wow.
Really? It's amazing. Yeah, I'm pretty much done.
I understand.
So, yeah, I really am. There's nothing I can teach or show people here. That I've got my work and my books out and the radio shows for now. But I'm really just like, you know what? They're done. These people don't want to move on. Not the way you're supposed to, anyway.
Well, yeah, they were in a very strange situation.
Well, it's not we. It's them. The thing is, I'm singular consciousness merged with source, and I think everybody is who's walking the timeline here. But when you start looking and talking and walking as a collective, like a sheep group of collective, then that's where the problems come in because we're not the same. We're all different species here on a timeline. And I find that common sense would dictate to your brain to make, you know, changes on the timeline to accommodate the cosmos, not man's version. So we have a lot of problems here that nobody's wanting to rectify, and I'm not here to bear it, you know.
You know what's funny is the way people, they just keep going.
I think they're just traumatized. I think they're in trauma, they're half asleep, they're dead. And I've said it before, and I'll say it a trillion fold on this show or anybody else's in my own. I say it's like a dachau. This is like work until you're free, work until you're free. What do people do every single day? They work until they're freaking free. Then they retire, and then they die. It's all about walking in complete slavery and working in slavery, any way you look at it, enslavement. Wow. It's really disgusting, quite honestly. And once you know the scenery and the picture, it's so hard to change that. I mean, in a sense of you can't change what you know. You don't want to.
People keep going and doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
it's like the elections, you know, not the president.
Oh yeah, I mean, I gave up on that a while back, and but honestly, I should have never got so involved in it with the whole, you know, this, that, and the other 4 years ago. Should just let it ride.
Right. Yeah, but so obviously the whole election system is corrupted, but they went ahead and did it again. Where, you know, all of the Senate and all the House of Representatives and all that.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It gives them the idea and the illusion and delusion they're in power when they're not. It's still run by the military-industrial complex. It's still run by those who are calling the shots here. And that's like the little sheeple's club now. So it's kind of like that's what the regular people, muggle people, I guess you can call them, that's what they're doing here. And this is their little lie, and this is their little game board. And, you know, just like regular people, they want everybody dumbed down. And those are the leaders of the dumbed down, okay? Then you have the military breakaways, right? The military industrial complex. And then the people that are running the grid who are not extraterrestrial. So you got a lot of problems here on this rock they call Earth. A lot of problems.
I feel bad in some ways.
I really, you know, the only regret I have is that I ever showed up on the timeline here. I should have never been here. Should have just gone home, stayed home, off planet. Not here.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's true though.
Interesting. I've seen some shows recently on YouTube. There was one guy that had a near-death experience. I think he may have been dead. And he talked about some of the things you talk about. Like he didn't want to come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't want to come back once you go.
And the people he was talking to on the other side, he's like, I don't want to go back. I'm not going back.
I think most people do that. They argue and then they say, oh, you have to go back. I didn't have that kind of a death experience. I would have had a different formula, but I know what it's like out there and I don't want to be here. So, and anybody who tells you it's all darkness and evil, they don't know. No, it's not. No, it's not. Think about an ascended Earth star a billionfold better than this one. Plenty of Goldilocks worlds like that out there.
Mm.
Plenty.
There's some very good comments there, Slayer.
No, thank you. I'm not trying to ramble on, but
how
I get.
Very fine. No, actually, it's good. I'm glad you do that. I'm going to play a little bit from Dr. Fetzer's show. He had a really good show, and I think they're going to get into something more about this football player. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll enjoy it.
Done so far, but I can already feel that momentary flash in the pan on Twitter of being able to see things fading away and fading away quickly. Look, we've got things that have begun to expose themselves, and the good news is down at the senior centers and down in the gyms and at the family reunions, people are beginning to talk about what they're beginning to see and understand that it's men like us and people in our community that are actually on track for understanding what's really happening in this world. But for instance, when my father was in town, we spent hours talking about the different things. He had no idea of what was going on. And I do credit Twitter for what it's done. I can tell you though, and I've always believed that Twitter was subsidized by some nefarious mind controlling agency, which turns out that happens to be true because.
Do you have any opinions on Twitter and Elon Musk?
Oh, well, we've talked about him before. You know, in my opinion, it's interesting how he bought the company in order to acquire a database of surveilling. He has everybody's personal data. He's smart as hell. So what he did was he acquired the database that is usually not accessible to anyone or anything except people who own the company. And he has it. He has it on every one of us. So he has just about as much data of our personal imprint there, our fingerprints on the Twitter than anybody in a defense department or somebody else, you know, in an alphabet agency, in my opinion. He can access the files. One thing I did notice when he took over was that people that I had dropped off after this whole thing, I started like unfriending everything. And clearing out my whole page. Well, guess what? They're all back. Every
Your
one
friends?
Of them. I never reset it. I never reset it. They reset it for me. So my point is that he's been accessing everybody's personal data. And that is a lot of information.
You're talking Twitter.
Talking Musk. Yeah, Twitter. Yeah.
Okay.
Although he's trying to say it's like, oh, you know, they're there. Yeah, everybody surveils everybody. He has his own surveillance. And he's also contracted with the military. Otherwise, he wouldn't have a space, you know, program. He wouldn't have anything connected to it. He has to play the game. He has to walk that walk or he's nowhere in space.
I never got on Twitter. Do you like
it? Well, I have an account. I don't like it at all. Actually, I hardly even post except for radio shows. But when the politics were there and Trump was on, he was very entertaining. I mean, Trump's the one who was always out there, you know, just basically letting it ride. And it's fun because you're out there and you're watching this and it's, you know, he's bashing all the propaganda. So, yeah, it was kind of entertaining, and I think a lot of people were enjoying the rawness of it, and insofar as just being organically correct versus political correctness. And then, you know, then he got banned and this, that, and then the witch hunt started, and everybody who was even following him was being attacked. So, but now everybody's reset on there, you know, and it's, so what is he doing? I said before, I bet you he sells that company, and sure enough, in the woodworks, I think he was talking about stepping down. I bet you anything he's going to sell. He has the database now. That's all he wanted. He wanted the information, that's all.
How long did he own it?
Not very long. He just bought it, didn't he? Not too long. I mean, literally, I would say he's probably going to sell within a year. What does he need it for? He doesn't need it. He did it because he could. That's why. They do it all the time, these rich, eccentric people. They do it all the time. They do it because they can.
You know, and it probably caused a lot of havoc.
Well, the thing is, he's made a lot of enemies on both sides. And but you know what? You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. And if you think for one minute anyone in any political arena is on your side, you are sadly mistaken. That goes for anyone. So to me, it's kind of like he should know. I'm sure he probably figured it out that everybody is his enemy and his ally at the same time. It's all two-faced BS. So do what you want to do. Make yourself happy. Entertain yourself with your big money and big tech. And that's pretty much what he's doing. You know, this is what they do. If I had a lot of money like Batman, I said it before, I'd have my own space program. I'd be off planet. I still can get off planet, in my opinion. I'm working on a lot of things, but I still think we can make it out without all that. But nonetheless, I mean, that's what I would do. I wouldn't mess around with the political arenas. I don't care about these people. They don't care about me. I don't care about them. They don't pay my bank accounts. They don't pay my salary.
They seem hopelessly corrupt.
They're so corrupt that you can't even fix it. I said it before. Yeah. It's like a glass that's shattered so many times over. When you're trying to put it back together, you can't. It's still leaking everywhere. This is the whole idea behind everything here. It's fractured to hell and back, and you can't fix it. You have to reset it. But you don't reset it the way they want to reset it. You reset it in alignment with the cosmos. And then everything's in alignment. They won't do it. Trust me.
You make a lot make a lot of very good points there. Your analogy of a broken glass is quite interesting.
Well, it's true. It's Humpty Dumpty.
You know, when you try to pick up a broken glass, you can get cut, right?
Yep.
Try to clean the mess up.
Yeah. Well, they've certainly shattered an awful lot here. But you asked about him, and that's my own perception of it. I don't think he's anybody's friend, to be honest. I know he's trying to play the game. I'm like, dude, no, he's not anybody's friend. Nobody's anybody's friend here. Just, there's none of that ever again. Unless you have a childhood friend or somebody you really know back to back, you know, from the beginning of many lifetimes, or even just, you know, spiritually connected, then that's different. But nobody's anybody's friend here.
I'm going to start this back up. Boy, a lot of very heavy-duty thoughts to contemplate.
Well, you know, I've had 2 weeks off from this station to kind of look at the world. And, of course, I didn't want to, but, yeah. My dog's in the background, so bear with me. He's doing okay. He's just a little bit of noise.
Oh, that's no problem. Here we go.
I never buy anything off their ads. How can the business model make sense? Are you really telling me that all that money that they're spending to buy votes and send political campaigns and suppress all this, I always knew it was subsidized by either a nonprofit organization that's supported by government money or by the government directly. It turns out that our minds are worth a tremendous amount of money to them. They will spend a small fortune to keep us in the dark and prevent...
To keep us in the dark. They will spend
and he's right about the brain. He's right about, you know, the consciousness. Once you're in the right configuration, your gnosis is there, you become super intelligent. And the problem with these people is that they're so dumbed down, switched off, there's no way they can get there. They can't get to that level. They've been completely, in my opinion, hacked and contorted and twisted and mangled. But the thought process of independent thought creates a new frontier. And we all know that. That's how inventors and mystics always saw beyond the spectrum of here. So what he's talking about is, it's 100% accurate, if you ask me. That's why they want to shut down freedom of thought, freedom of speech, because it's power, more power than you could possibly imagine in the cosmos.
So interesting. This has been a very interesting conversation. It's like some of the things we're saying are so deep and profound, I really need like an hour just to meditate on it.
Well, it's true, and you can always listen to the replay later.
Yeah, I'll probably have to.
Us from seeing the light, and that's why Twitter exists. If you think Facebook is any different, you're wrong. Facebook is exactly the same way. They don't create that much revenue based on people purchasing ads on Facebook. They create that much revenue from the nonprofit organizations and the think tanks and the eight entities and the.
But I think Facebook is dying. What do you think?
Well, it is, but they've already data mined the heck out of it. So since the beginning, they took everybody's intellectual property and data. So that's been hijacked. And now everybody's personal imprint is all over classified, beyond classified. I mean, areas where they want to manipulate it and store it or use it for their own assessment programs. It's very, very dangerous because you're selling information to people in departments who are your enemy. These are not allies of yours. So you've got personal data that goes in many, many areas, including black webs and this and the other.
You know, I haven't got on Facebook in 3 or 4 months.
You're not missing anything. I only get on there once again to promote my work, or I do have people that I still stay in touch with through there, but I'm at the point where I want to go black really bad. I said it before, I have no interest in being on the internet anymore. I'm so done.
Do you feel that being on Facebook is actually detrimental? I felt like it was draining
energy.
Only if
you have an employer. If you have an employer who's going to Google you and people who want to profile you and they're your enemy to begin with, they're just looking for ammo, then sure. It's a problem. That's why when I worked in surveillance in areas where that were, you know, kind of secured away, they don't watch you on the internet. You had to sign a waiver, not even a waiver. It's a piece of paper that you have to sign to not be on there and talk about anything because you can't. So in my opinion, yeah, it's just if you want your job and you want to keep your job, probably stay off of it. Just shut down your profile page and stay out of social media.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just, I'm sorry to tell you that, but it's the truth because you're never going to get anywhere. And they're going to take everything from you and blacklist you and do all kinds of, you know, character assassination. That's how it rolls.
Mm. Agencies that are given massive sums of money to control our minds. So I do appreciate Musk's position. I don't trust him. I think he's in bed with Klaus Schwab and the rest of.
Do you think Musk and Klaus Schwab are associated together?
Yeah, I think they are. As much as I think Musk is very likable. If you look at him, he is likable. There's something about him that you have a beer with a guy, you talk to him. He just seems like he's very neutral for everybody. So he's a good candidate. But he still, in my opinion, is being not necessarily handled, but I think he is to some degree a little bit manipulated into that whole paradigm. And, you know, like I said before, where does this guy get off, Schwab getting off trying to run the world? I mean, who is he anyway? Who is this piece of, you know,
where did he come from?
And he spawned himself out of somebody's orifice and he's somebody special now. I'm sorry to sound crude and don't get me started with that, but I'll tell you, he has nothing. The guy's not even an extraterrestrial. He's not a blue blood. He's not anything. So what is he? Somebody with trillions of dollars to call the shots on a world?
Where did
really?
He come
That's it?
From?
That's Didn't from you nowhere. Say that? He's another That's one what... of the puppets, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, he's somebody he popped out like a jack in the box. You know, they all do.
What,
he shows up.
What does he say? You will have nothing and you will
be happy. This is Buckout 2023. Welcome to your free. Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, guys, ladies and gentlemen. Alien life forms. It truly is. I'm not working till I'm free. I am a free cosmic being, so yeah.
Exactly.
The world Economic Forum and all the other bad guys. I think he's going to be doing this transhumanist agenda, and I think he's going to be the guy that leads us into a robotic mind control future. But
isn't that what the COVID shot does? It
No, not really. It's a modifier. It's definitely a modifier, but you're holographic. If you have the right DNA sequencing as a starseed, as a cosmic being, you can repattern it. You can do a repatterning on it, and you won't be controlled and manipulated. I was able to override technology that was far more advanced than anything they can inject into your body, okay? And I can tell you, as somebody who's been a test pilot for a lot of that stuff and technologies, what they're trying to do, they're trying to encapsulate. And I wrote about this in Eye of the Remote. People would pay attention 20 years ago. I said that was their whole agenda, was to try to interconnect everybody at a global scale to this their version of artificial intelligence for a hive collective for remote control purposes and behavioral modification and threat assessment. That's exactly what I said it was. And it's what they're trying to do. But the thing is, people aren't worth anything. If you think you're going to get upgraded to be something special, they don't like you enough to do that. You have to be part of their club. You know, I was only upgraded because I'm different. I'm a starseed. I'm a different blood. Okay. So I'm a different species to begin with. So when I get interconnected, I was decoding their stuff and then upgrading it through my field. So I think they utilize that. And now they're working it with the Defense Department, in my opinion, which I pretty much can prove it actually, but it's another scenario.
Wow.
So yeah, he's in on it. And once again, too, he likes the data. If you give him data, he'll snoop around. He's got those satellites around everybody's houses, you know, the Starlink and all these other nice satellites, and they're really surveillance, in my opinion. Those are surveillance satellites. You can do an awful lot with those things.
That's
data mining.
How many companies does he own?
Oh, I don't know. I lose track. I mean, I'm happy for him, and that's good for you, buddy. You got that kind of money. That's great. That's really nice. But there's always a dark side to this technology, and in my opinion, when you have that much going on, you have to have somebody in the background running the show. He has to have a lot of integrity and say, you know what, this is the misuse of technology. We're not doing that. He's never come out and said that. I have been on the front lines exposing this stuff. He's never said a word about it. Okay. That's how you know he should. Yes. And I've gotten on his ass about it. I mean, even indirectly, I don't care if I've tweeted him or this, that, and the other, he doesn't come forward and say talk about the misuse and the weaponization of our aerial mapping and the things that are going on that are causing all these problems, interconnection. I have been a test pilot for command programs. I can tell you they're very dangerous. You're using mind control. You're interconnecting brainwave activity onto a target to control their behavior. You tell me that's okay. And especially if you're trying to weaponize a target of interest, it's very dangerous water. It traumatized my life. And I don't want to go back into where I've been. But I'm just saying, that took out my life. It was never recaptured again. I died that day. And people, they don't know. They never got it, you know. And I walk around and I'm just doing great because I've calibrated my own field. But I'm really not doing that great. But nonetheless, you understand what I'm talking about. Wait till they get interconnected hardcore. They will wish they were dead. There will be no way to get out of it. And believe me when I tell you, once they gridline everything, there's no way you're going to be able to get out of that crap.
The being connected is actually a horrible thing, right?
Well, the thing is, if you like, I said it before, if you like to meditate, you love to meditate, you like Billy Meyer, you like freedom of thought, freedom of speech, you want your silent prayer time, whatever that is you do, you're never going to have it because you're going to have a chatterbox interface with you nonstop. It's going to be behavior modification. If you don't follow the command, it will torture you. It will hit you with a signal of some kind, whether it's vertigo or whether it's something like something that will cause you to have like a, it's like, it's almost like a electroshock therapy where you're getting, you know, kind of like stunned nonstop for behavior. So it's something to that effect where they use their interconnection chatterbox programs. A lot of it is verbiage insofar as synthetic telepathy or electronic telepathy. They call it electronic warfare. It's the same thing. So, and once again, you know, I've talked about how Space Force is, they've got all access to this. This is their toy, okay? If you tell me they're our allies, they're not our allies. I don't know who they are. I don't know who they are, but I know where they come from. I know what departments they came from to get there. It's all bad.
Now, when you're talking about they, can you...
They meaning military, Air Force, global military.
Our military?
It's not our military. It's not ours anymore. It's not extraterrestrial either. That's a big problem for us.
It's the globalists?
They're basically a co-opted military, and I would say they're contracted assassins to some degree to control and manipulate the skies and to be dominating space, as creating their own space platforms to dominate everyone and everything, including the electromagnetic spectrum, which they brag about, which I talk about because we are electromagnetic beings. So if you're trying to dominate the electromagnetic field of the body, that's an invasion. That's assault and battery with directed energy weapons, and anybody who tells you opposite is a liar.
Wow.
I've got enough data and experience in this. I could run the whole department. I've done it before.
You know, what's going on and what you're breaking down is so profound.
It is, but nobody cares. You know what's so funny? I've been talking about this for 20 years. I proved it. We measured the technology. You know, I had all kinds of things going on, and nobody cared enough to do anything about it. And you know, why me? You know, it's kind of funny because nobody... If it happens to them, they might think differently, but at this point in space time, it's kind of like too late. I think it's too late. They're going to get what they deserve, and that means however they've been operating on the timeline, they're going to get manipulated. They're already manipulated. I don't think they're going to be able to break away from some of this stuff. I don't. So.
Wow. You know, you're right, though. I mean, people don't care. They can't care about what they don't understand.
They didn't care when I was out there. I was, like I said, in 2006 when I was all by myself testifying in the courtroom, and the only person I had in my corner, well, first of all, one of my handlers who lied and said he was in my corner wasn't, but I had somebody who was shadowing my case who was national security, who was a lawyer, a federal lawyer, and that's it. Without him being around, I think I would have been murdered, to be honest.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was watching my back in a weird way, intimidating people, but he really didn't do a whole lot, I mean, other than just back him up.
Hmm.
So... Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to move. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, whoa is all I can say.
Yeah. Whoa.
Okay. Let me continue here.
But in the meantime, I have appreciated having a nice Twitter, and therefore I applaud him and I hope it lasts. But I don't.
I think that's a very balanced assessment. I like that. Meanwhile,
The guy's name is Damar Hamlin.
Okay.
The guy that died.
Recently administered Damar Hamlin's COVID.
I keep saying that.
I could have sworn he came back to life.
Technically, he may be alive. He may still be alive. But I got a feeling he's not in such a good state.
Mm-hmm. Booster on 1226. And as a medical professional, I can assure the public he passed all screens with flying colors. I'm in contact with the UCMC staff and will provide any assistance to them. Confirmation the guy was vaxxed. I believe he died right there on the field. We're getting reports now that he's got neurological activity, that he's coming out of it, but I predict he'll have a relapse. And clearly it had nothing to do with the vax, but he will be dead.
He's being sarcastic there, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a position to say anything contrary. Meanwhile, before we go further, comment on what you think's going on here, because it's obvious they're making a desperate effort to disconnect his collapse on the field from anything to do with the vax, even though the owner of the Bills had been boasting recently how he required everyone to be vaxxed. Carl, your thoughts?
Well, I'll find the best documentation that I've seen, which is about 1,500 professional athletes collapsing and many of those dying.
1,500, that's quite a few.
Yeah, that's definitely quite a few.
Those associated with soccer. So if people want to make that argument that this particular case, whatever the details is with this particular case, you have the background of an unprecedented number of athletes keeling over. We can also attach that to the documentation through VAERS and other reporting agencies that is to be expected. And what are we looking at for the data? Roughly 7% will suffer some sort of a severe effect from the vaccine. So we shall see what happens moving forward. And also, I would be very interested if this gentleman pulls through from the hospital of what the protocol was to treat him. I wonder if they did something that would attempt to either remove blood clots or lessen them, because that would be a tell that they knew that there was a problem with blood clots associated with what happened with this gentleman.
I agree completely. Brian.
My favorite scene from the movie The Naked Gun is when he's standing in front of the burning building, dumpster fire that's happening behind him, and he's saying, "Nothing to see here. Move on, folks. Let's go on. There's nothing to see here. Nothing to see here." There was 22 million people watching Monday Night Football. Now, that's just about the...
So that's the whole deal here, mm-hmm. the fact that there were 22 million people.
Interesting
watching.
Number. 22, yeah. Huh? Got a master field going on there.
11.
Well, 22 is a master number.
Is it?
It's another master number. Yeah, it is. It's four, what is but that? It's a master number. You go through the 11s, the 22s, the 33s, the 44s, right? If you're looking at esoteric sciences, it's just a number that's a power number.
A power number. So we had 22 million people watching this guy.
Supposedly.
Fall over.
Which is, well, you're feeling that transmission, in my opinion, to some degree. You know, I'm sorry, but I would wager that this is directed energy weapon. It's aerial warfare.
It could
be. It's right above their heads. It's affecting their bioelectric suits and circuitry, and is going to cause more than seizures and people collapsing on the field. And if you look and then remember, I'm sorry, you're in for a break. Go ahead.
Okay, we'll be back, folks. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Don't miss the Crick, Rick, and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
That's right.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories.
What do you believe?
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
Alright, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the second hour of Ohio Exopolitics. The first hour was so short, I'm still in shock. I cannot believe we went through a time warp, I think, that first hour. Don't you think? Wasn't that weird?
That happens. Not for me.
Like, what the heck? You know, that was like the shortest hour. And the info that we're discussing is very profound. It's almost exhausting.
Well, it's sad because when you know what's really going on, it's like, wow, this is such a waste of time and life and energy and consciousness and happiness and everything that means something to your spirit has just been bastardized. You know, to me, it just seems like an abomination, quite honestly. And you realize, like we realize this, I don't know how many people have realized it. I think they had tidbits of data, but when you really start to see it, man, it's time to go. It's time to get out of here.
They're terrible people. You said everything that means something has been, you said something about our spirit. Everything that means something has been taken away from our spirit.
Well, bastardized. You know, everything that brings you happiness and joy and love and peace is all of a sudden it's stress and high pressure intensity and weaponization of your brain and your body and your electromagnetic field. And, you know, like I said, the sky isn't the sky anymore. The water isn't the water anymore. Everything is poisoned. They're trying to blame it on mankind, but actually they're the ones who've done it. So it's really just terrible. I just like peace. You know, I know what it's like to have peace. I know what it's like to have that centeredness and that calmness. And it's very difficult to achieve these days nowadays for me because I'm not supposed to be here. This is not my configuration. I don't care. You can hide away in a church somewhere or wherever the hell you go, I mean, whether it's the top of a mountain to pray, it doesn't matter anymore. You're on this rock. And as long as you're on this rock, it's never going to be any better. We got to get out of here. Got to get out of this place.
You know, I think I know what my job is now. My job is just to slow you down so we can really observe and analyze what you're saying.
You can't slow me down. Don't ever say that. No, I go fast forward. And actually, I've slowed down enough over the years due to some of the weapons systems. So, no, I'm going to keep going fast forward as best I can. And that's what it is. You move fast enough like a jackrabbit, you can get out of here. You know, you're slow. You get stuck with inertia. The slower you go, the more inertia gets around you, and then you're stuck. You're in a gravity wheel. You got to go fast.
You know, it's so interesting that you said everything that means something has been bastardized. But you said something in relation to this spirit as well.
Well, everything that means something to your spirit. In other words, your emotions, love, happiness, peace. Whatever it is that brings your soul, you know, that spirit peace and tranquility. And usually that's being attuned to the field, attuned to consciousness, attuned to the multiverse and creation and all the life forms and being interconnected with the web of life versus the web of the internet. Big difference, right? All of that is just stripped away like it never existed. And you're stuck in a world of void, a void where everything is mechanical, but not mechanical and sentient machine intelligence like off planet, man's version, which is even a very cold place to live. It's a very cold, dark, encapsulating place to be, my opinion. I don't like it. I like off-world intelligence. I'm not interested in man's version.
So everything that means something to our spirit has been bastardized.
That's my opinion.
Twisted, perverted, broken.
Well, think about it. Take a good look at what's happened the past, I don't know how many years, 4 years at least, and see it, especially in the U.S.
I got to tell you a little story. There's this guy who's like a really great, really great guitarist. His name is Lee Ritenour. He has a great bass player that plays with him, Melvin Davis, and Dave Grusin plays the keyboards with him, and his son plays drums for him. His name is Lee Ritenour, and he has a very happy, very, but still very deep music. And they also play a lot of funk. It's just very, very enjoyable music. It's great to listen to while you're doing other things. And it's just great. So, I was just thinking the other day, well, you know, I haven't really heard about him doing anything real recent within the past couple of years. So I went and looked up what he was doing, what had happened to him. He, he had a beautiful home in Malibu somewhere in California. And I guess it got caught in some of those fires.
Mm.
His whole house burned up. All of his guitars burned up. All of his amps burned up.
Wow.
And that day that he lost his house, he also had to go into the hospital to have a really massive heart issue done.
Hmm.
So the poor guy, I mean, you talk about everything that means something to your spirit has been bastardized.
That's a lot of loss.
I'm still depressed from hearing
that. Oh, don't be sad about it. But, you know, I mean, the good side of things like that is that maybe you had insurance to cover it, but you can't replace sentimental things. You can't replace sentimental objects or people or animals. They just can't be replaced. That's the thing, you know. I've had my stuff taken out. I told you my old house in Superior was burned to the ground and my storage unit was burned to the ground. So I know what that's like.
Wow. Yeah. And this is recently, right?
That was about, over a year ago. Yeah. But I don't think that was an accident. You know, I'm very suspicious of things.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame you. Okay. So, you know, I think we're in a war against these globalists.
Oh, yeah. No, well, they declared war on us. The funny thing is we could have coexisted and everybody could just be smart, intellectual, expanded in consciousness and spiritually evolved. But they want to keep everybody in this realm of stupidity and ignorance and violence and hostility. And they don't want anything evolving people unless it's them through their control mechanisms versus cosmic intelligence, right? Big difference between cosmic intelligence doesn't have a clearance thing. You don't have to have a special clearance to get in. It's not a club. Here, you have to be part of the club.
You talked about that we're stuck in a world that is void.
Well, it's void of a lot of things. It's void of spirit. It's empty. There's nothing here. That's why I kept saying that this is the wrong space configuration. Everything's off here. Why do people think this is the way it's supposed to be when it's not supposed to be? You can make the best of it. It's like being on Gilligan's Island. Sure, make the best of it. Build yourself a house, you know, try to sustain yourself. But what are you really doing? And why aren't you able to get out of it? And don't blame it on a god or demon. I'm not having that either. I know that we can get out of here.
You know, and when I log into Facebook, I get that feeling that I'm in a world that is void.
Well, there's nothing there. I mean, you have non-essential players. You have entities. I don't know. Some are real. Some are not. The people that are on my page, for the most part, I'm aware of, whether they're clients or people that I've had on my radio show. You kind of get an idea. But no, it's all just virtual people. I mean, and when push comes to shove and you're going through a crisis by yourself, how many of those people are going to be there in person? How many? I can tell you point blank, zero. Okay. Yeah. Everything I've been through, nobody's been there for me. Not one person. Okay. Not one. And I don't hold any grudges. I'm just saying. So don't tell me about friends. They're not my friends. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they are. I don't watch who they are. I'm not surveilling them 24/7 to tell you what their dark side is. I just know me. Okay. And I don't care. Like I said, I've lived so long by myself, interconnected with so many different things where I've been, that to me, the only thing that's comforting are the animals or music or nature or cosmic frequencies, you know, but everything else to me is a game board, man. And until these people clear their own debris and do the spiritual work, which is what you were kind of alluding to some degree with the Billy Meyer material, they're never going to see who they are. It's like they have so much junk in their field, junkyards, they're walking pig pens. And until they clear that, what is left? I mean, what's going to be there for them, right? You don't know who you're dealing with. You don't know who you're talking to. It could be an imposter. It could be an imposter program.
They have a lot of bots now on Facebook.
They have so many bots. And people are programmable. Believe me, I've been interconnected. I get it. When you're programmable, you are not yourself. You are not you. And I'm talking as a spirit, soul, consciousness being. You are not you. I don't know who they are. And I remember being interconnected, and I can tell you how traumatizing it is and how you are not yourself, and you were overtaken by handlers and controllers and operators. It is a very strange and disturbing experience. And believe me when I tell you, I'm pretty powerful. So for me to be interconnected the way I was and have that happen to me is mind-blowing. I'm just using that as an example. But, yeah, you just watch people. You don't know who you're dealing with anymore. As simple as that. I mean, you're organic. You're spiritual. I can tell. That's why I'm on your show. There are beings here at the station. You watch the people I put on my show. Most of the time, there is something to bring to the plate on a spiritual, cosmic level and scientific or whatever. There's something there that makes them stand out, energetically speaking, that they're not just regular, non-essential entities, right?
You know, to give you a little hope and optimism, I met online with a group, a Meyer, you know, study group. And I've been online with other Meyer study groups before, and it didn't really feel right for me, but this group was outstanding, and there was a lot of them. So there are some people out there.
Well, there are. I think the best thing you can do is meet them in person, to be honest with you. I think that's one of the reasons I used to like doing the conferences, even though I wasn't at many doing presentations. But when I did, I got to look face to face, eye to eye with these people. And I wouldn't be a snob. I mean, some people who are out there doing their little presentations, you know, they get kind of snobby about it. I would sit down for hours and talk to these people at the table and just have a conversation with them. These are people that followed my work, followed my books, you know, and had wanted to know, spiritually very evolved and anchored people. So, yeah, I think that when you meet them in person, eye to eye, spirit to spirit, you can see what you're dealing with a little bit better.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna.
But that's good though about the group. I'm happy to hear that. I'm not saying there are good beings here, but we need to, as star beings, get out of here. We need to break orbit. We need to go into another breakaway, and we can do this. But people have to be aware of it. Instead of wishing on a star, become the star. I've said it before a billion fold. What are you wishing on? What are you wishing on every day that doesn't change your life? You know.
Good point.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Here we go.
Audience you can get next to the Super Bowl and some other events, and I can tell you that the BlackRock executives. The same people that own Pfizer, the BlackRock executives.
Now, I did not know that BlackRock owned Pfizer.
Oh, that's interesting. I thought they were a security network, aren't they? I could have sworn I even applied for them a long time ago.
They are, but they own everything now.
Yeah. BlackRock. Who owns them? Who owns BlackRock?
Your guess is good.
I'll have to look it up. I don't know. Probably Schwab.
Schwab or somebody like
interesting
that.
Interesting name. BlackRock. I wonder where
BlackRock
came from.
Yeah, BlackRock owns Pfizer. I mean, this is just
a lot of money. They're making a hell of a lot of money.
All of this is people just trying to kill us. That's all. It's that simple.
It's a bioweapon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bioweapon. And he ends the story. But the aerial warfare and the directed energy weapons. Oh, I'm sorry. That's all the same. Go ahead.
No, it's all right. I was just. Yeah, let's continue here.
Fingers crossed that this doesn't happen again, and that they can continue to tell America that, hey, everything's going to be okay, it's all okay. But I can tell you for a fact that down at the gym, Everybody's talking about this. Everybody's seen it. And everybody is going, oh my God, is it real? Were those conspiracy theorists right? And that's a great step in the right direction.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And what a perfect prelude for our next story, to wit, collapsing conspiracy cover-ups by Ron Unz from the Unz.
You know, there's something about the Kennedy assassination that they just released. I don't know what it is.
Is that right?
What it is.
It's like they're all targets.
John, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a little late for that, isn't it? Too little, too late kind of thing. Oh, by the way, here. Yeah, that's nice. Thank you.
Only 50 years or something like that.
Just like Roswell. It's the same concept, you know, direct energy weapons. And it just, let me tell you, it's all about aerial warfare. Any way you look at it.
Aerial?
Aerial. Antennas. Radio. Okay. Scalar. Microwaves. Electromagnetic. You name it. It's all weaponized.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. .com. A wonderful journal. The 1963 assassination of JFK possibly ranks as the single most famous event of the 20th century. For nearly 64 years, they've been wise in suspicions he died at the hands of a conspiracy, as did his brother Robert.
Do you have Dr. Fetzer on Skype?
I don't know if I do or not. Probably not.
I used to, until I had to change my computer.
You can probably find him, but I'm sure the station can get you him. Everybody has him here.
Yeah.
He might. I don't think he is. No, I don't think I've ever interviewed him. So, no, he's not.
You never interviewed him. You should.
Nope. Well, you know, I like him. He's okay. I just.
Do you think,
just be a gripe hour.
Do you think.
No, we get it, though.
Do you think he'd be too intense?
No.
Okay.
I just, you know, I'm just sort of out of that perimeter. That's not my focus when I'm doing shows these days.
Well,
although I talk about covert warfare, I just like to interview people about different topics. And
okay.
Yeah.
So you're not getting into the big conspiracy?
Well, I don't believe in conspiracy. And I hate that people on this station even use that terminology, because that's a mockery to the truth. I mean, everybody says it was created by CIA. It's a psyop. So why are they calling it that? It's not anything pertaining to that. But if you remember that video I sent to you with the X-Files, and I know it's been passed around on Twitter out the wazoo.
Oh, yeah.
But literally, that's a primer. I mean, that was 20, when they put that out, 2016, Chris Carter did that.
They tell us.
Well, basically, it's like almost a storyboard for what happened with this Cy-Virus event. So
yeah. You
can't make it up. You can't make it up, but they use it. And it's not like they have to tell us. I think they're stealing the data and weaponizing it in their departments. They're that stupid. They can't come up with their own game plan for destroying people, so they have to steal from everybody else. They do it all the time, man. It's data collection. When they weaponize it, oh, this is good. Let's use this. How can we be more creative with that? They're disgusting. If you have to spend your life and your career finding ways to destroy people's lives, something needs to go down there. That's not okay, man. It's really a problem with that.
I think they tell us what they're going to do to us.
No, they don't have to. I've heard that before, and I don't know who started that trend. And I know that it's more about, I don't know who that person was, but I don't buy that at all. They don't have to tell you a damn thing. But I know people are saying that because of these special secret societies have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. No, they do not. When I was interconnected in 2004, they did not tell me what they were going to do ahead of time in the illusion of. No, they do not. They premeditate. They do it. They extract you out of your house. They do whatever they want to do. And later on, you put the pieces together. That's just my 2 cents on it.
Do you think that show, though, was a vehicle that they used basically...
Oh, I don't think they created the data. I think a writer created that, probably through somebody who's been through some exotic experiences or has some inside information about the weaponization of what they've been doing, and just put it into a storyline. And then they took it. They saw it. They said, well, you know, we could actually do something like this. This is a great idea. If they watch it, then they're going to use it in their department. I mean, it's the same thing with my book. My book was taken. More people read my book in the Defense Department than anybody. You know why? Because it basically helps them explore and do what they need to do for their own templates and information on artificial intelligence. I actually helped these SOBs by exposing the truth and decoding technology. It's really unfortunate that it goes both ways. You know, you try to do the best you can to expose the misuse of things, but then people take it and do that. But, you know, there's always that balance. It's the good people are out there, too, but I don't hold my breath on anybody good anymore. So I digress.
Right. Oh, these conspiracy theories have been ignored or dismissed. They've inspired hundreds or thousands of books and films, widely believed by large portions of the American public. loss of faith in our institutions has been dramatic. Our government still has not released all its official records on JFK, even after 6 decades of cover-up, but it may be starting to collapse. Tucker has the most popular cable news show. Late last week, he aired a segment where he declared the JFK assassination had been the work of a conspiracy with our own CIA heavily involved. His nightly audience is over 3 mil. Just one copy of his YouTube video has been watched 1.4 million times. So these shocking claims from a major media outlet have now reached millions of ordinary Americans, probably more than anything else in the 30 years since Oliver Stone's Oscar-winning film JFK was in the theaters.
Robert, let me ask you, what do you think about Tucker Carlson? I still think he's working for the dark side. What do you think?
I think he's entertainment. I think he attracts an audience of people that have an interest in what he has to say, especially people who are interested in the truth. But mm-hmm. I think he's also does his way of playing both sides of the cross. I really do. I think they're both playing both sides, just like Musk. He plays the game. You know, he's between the spaces of what they are. I don't play any games, and I know beings who don't play games usually get targeted worse. But yeah.
Yeah, I think Tucker Carlson does some good.
Well, he has, but you know what? It's action that changes the world, not people just constantly watching television. And even if it's a good newscaster, you know, you don't just sit there to live for this guy to talk and say, oh, yeah, okay. And then what are you going to do about it? At the end of the day, you go home to your house, as you drink your coffee, have your beers, and go to sleep. Wake up and go to your jobs, and you do the same thing over and over again. Then you think about what could change, but you don't do a damn thing about it. My point is action creates the change, and I'm not telling anybody what to do because it's too late now. You guys should have thought about this 3 years ago. But my point is that those of us who know what's going on, we just know we need to get out of here. It's kind of like New Schwaben land. You know, it's that it's kind of like getting out. Just we have to leave. We have to leave in order to preserve our cosmic design. We need to go. And
Alex,
believe me, the biotech and the body, the physical matrix is not from this world. Keep that in mind.
Alex Jones was supposedly, he's going to have to pay all these trillions of dollars, you know, in that court case. And mm-hmm. He talks about trying to raise money and this, that, and the other thing. But I think that was just a kangaroo court. It's just ridiculous.
Well, you can't go, like I said, it's an illegal system. Why bother with a system that's broken? I feel sorry for people who have legitimacy with their being lawyers or attorneys, because you don't, it's a system that's broken. It's a club that just, it's deformed. You know, there's no justice in any of that. It's all skewed for the criminal.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to be anything other than that. That's why people shouldn't entertain these areas. They all need to be restructured or zeroed out.
You know, you've said some really profound things.
Well, see, thank you.
That
just my DNA.
we're stuck in a world that is void. That was one of the most profound things you said. And the other thing, when you were saying that everything that means something to your spirit has been bastardized
mm-hmm.
or perverted or destroyed. Or
It's desecrating a sacred temple, basically.
Do you think these are Luciferians in charge?
Well, yeah, I know people who have religious indoctrination would call it that. But, you know, it's evil, however you want to decode it.
Evil.
People are just plain evil. And there is a core entity about them. But I've always decoded it as they have no connection to spirit or source.
So they're empty.
They are disconnected from creation. So, yeah, if you want to call it God, source, creator, source, if they have no connection to that consciousness, that stream of consciousness, they're not filled with the light, then they're void of spirit. And they are absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, evil. You can't even be neutral positive and be an entity. You either make the shift to evacuate that design and become more light, or you're just extinct. They're shadows. That's all they are.
Disconnected from creation.
Mm-hmm.
That's
how I see that.
That sounds very much like a Billy Meyer.
Well, I mean, we all have the same thread in the fabric in a sense of our, I don't even call it a belief system, it's a gnosis. You know, my information is based on where I come from with my relationship to creation.
Truth is truth, right?
Yeah, it is. And people are going to say that there's no such thing as consciousness. Absolutely there is. I mean, that's stupid. It's like the ether. It's trying to say the ether field doesn't exist. I mean, come on, guys. It doesn't make any sense how people get programmed into not believing or understanding. But It's none of my business, I guess.
Let's continue.
Robert Kennedy Jr. is a prominent public figure, best-selling author, nephew of the same president, son of his murdered brother. Praise Tucker Show is the most courageous newscast in 60 years. The CIA's murder of my uncle was a successful coup d'etat from which our democracy has never recovered, he tweeted. These incendiary remarks were retweeted more than 33,000 times with over 5 million views. So perhaps after more than two generations, the propaganda bubble may be finally starting to collapse. My own writings have received a burst of renewed attention. American Pravda, the JFK Assassinate Part 1. Again, the JFK Assassinate Part 2. Anne Frank, Sorin, and Age. How the CIA invented conspiracy theories among them. Until a dozen years ago, I hadn't questioned the official narrative.
Okay. What are we going to listen to next?
Well, you have some good selections there.
Well, I'm glad you've enjoyed them.
Blaming President Trump for January 6th.
Okay. This is Stu Peters, and he gets a little excited sometimes. So we'll just take him in stride. We'll listen to a little bit and then pause him and discuss it and go from there.
A peaceful protest turned into a, quote, insurrection by the people who set it up in the first place, a Fed insurrection. That's what this was.
January 6th is another.
Again? One. Oh, God. That's something that won't flush.
It's horrible.
I know.
These people are still in jail. You know?
Oh, yeah. No, that's just like I said, they're political prisoners. Yeah, that's the whole idea. If you're not dead, you're in jail.
It's terrible.
Agent provocateurs from the FBI sprinkled throughout the crowd. Antifa activists there breaking into the Capitol. The police ushering in people. People being arrested for praying on the courthouse steps. And this guy blames President Trump.
People arrested for praying. Now, that sounds pretty evil, right?
Well, once again, it's a violation of your freedom, isn't it? You have freedom of thought. And if you're praying silently, how is that affecting anybody, right? This is another thing I have a problem with. I don't care what your mantra is or your prayer is, but that's once again, invasion in your brain. Your communication, your relationship with source is yours. It's private. And it's interesting how they try to invade that. So,
are these people that trying to, why are they so concerned about what other people are doing?
Because they don't have a life of their own, apparently. And also, in my opinion, it changes everything. It's a game changer. Freedom of thought creates a new fabric in the continuum. It's just the way it is. I mean, we talk about the art of manifestation. Your thoughts manifest a power of some kind. They manifest a reality and a blueprint. If you're not being able to create, what do you have? You have a black and white world or one shade of gray. You don't have color. You don't have animation. You don't have anything.
So ultimately, they're attacking our thoughts.
They're attacking you at a multidimensional scale. It's not even about your thoughts. It's about your stream of consciousness. That's a huge crime. That's a universal war crime. I've said it before. That's not something that is acceptable in any formula, and they should know that. If they're anything connected to extraterrestrial intelligence, they would know that in a heartbeat. So they don't care. Like I said, it's their job in their delusional plane to control and manipulate everybody and to cause extinction, which really they're causing their own extinction in the process. That's really kind of the laugh about it. They're actually digging their own graves.
So a thought is a part of the stream.
It's a part of the fabric. It's your streaming consciousness. I'm not talking about regular programs like your mental body and your emotional body and your subtle energy field. I'm talking about your stream of consciousness, higher self, over soul, super conscious, interconnected with the full light universe and the multiverse, you know, your essence of origin. In my book, Alien Intelligence, I talk about how we are descendants of the visitors. We are not from here. With that comes a database of off-world species and off-world intelligence, systems, technology, everything that people are seeking is within that field of energy to access. They're not trying to get there. They don't want to get there. They want everybody else to give it to them. So, you know what? It is a very interesting multiverse, and we are part of it, whether they like it or not. So
how was the Earth, you know, if you go back 10,000 years?
That's nothing. It's beyond 26 billion years old. Why are they talking 10,000 years?
70,000 years.
It's nothing.
If you go back, you know, like, let's say 100,000, 70,000.
Yeah, okay. Before mankind showed up on the map?
Well, that's if you go back that far.
You have to ask yourself, what configuration was here? Well, I think you should ask yourself that. Let me explain something. Not much.
Was that
one? I'm talking movement and orbit and also configuration of space-time. Because we're not supposed to be here in this particular space-time configuration. In other words, you see it now, you see it now, you don't. Just like the moon. When now you see it, now you don't. We have, supposedly, there are records that say the moon was never here, yet at the same time, all of a sudden, it's there. Some people say it's towed. In my book, I talk about it moved from a different configuration to here, which is right, in my opinion. And it's the same thing. How can you track the history of a world when the world wasn't here? Do you understand? They made up a lie. They made up a fabric of history that isn't even accurate, in my opinion. They go back 10,000 years or how many years? Look at the benchmarks of even the Bible or anything else. How far back does it really go? And who was there to really document this stuff without it getting sanitized and rewritten a billionfold over? And everybody gets spoon-fed the lie. And they live in the false matrix. And they never get out of it until some being who's not from here like us shows up to wake them up.
Weren't there extraterrestrials here?
We are extraterrestrials.
Ancient past.
The architects, in my opinion, architects moved everything to the correct space-time configuration. In other words, we're not supposed to be in this one here. This was not done by us or our ancestry.
Oh, interesting. So you feel like the people that are on the Earth today shouldn't be even in this space-time.
No, they're not supposed to be here. None of us are. And star beings, anybody who's part hybrid or any connection to off-world intelligence as a visitor's descendant, we are not supposed to be here. We were never supposed to be here. The deformity of this world is an abomination. It was terraformed. I said it a billionfold. It is a terraformed rock called Earth, and it's not even legitimately a planet, even though some people will argue this until I'm not on this world. And someday when I'm off this planet, the illusion of this terraformed rock called Earth, they will once again notice that I was right. I don't come to my own conclusions. I've done an analysis on a lot of stuff over the years, and a lot of the information comes from a different database of information, not from here. So I write about it as best I can. I decode it, but people don't care. It's all conspiracy. It's all a game. It's all fantasy or delusion. Okay, believe what you want to believe. I don't care. I'm not here to change your mind. I'm just saying I'm working on my own stuff, and my work itself has proven to me over and over again it's accurate. Just by the way I get not very good attention, negative attention from particular divisions. So, it's a long story.
Wow. You're talking about a lot of stuff there.
But it's an interesting database. That's why I've always liked the Emerald Tablets. There's a lot of history, her story, the version of life. You have to go by the cellular memory, your cosmic blueprint, in order to get the clarity, in my opinion. So, I think Dylan Meyer touched on a lot of good data.
He has a tremendous amount of history.
Well, he also has intelligence from, in my opinion, I think he was interconnected with some Nazi data, but that's just me, besides others. I think there was a mix. Yeah, I think there was a mix there. So, and with that comes exotic tech, because let me tell you, man, you want to talk about off-world information and technology, there it is. Isn't it interesting how we copied all that, took it all, and used it for our departments? And those are the guys who have been running this world, or the illusion of this world, for a very long time. The same people that inherited the information but weren't part of the bloodline. I find that fascinating.
I was watching a show on YouTube last night. I forget the name of the fella, the guy from the Air Force that was working in the nuclear missile area when the extraterrestrial, that reddish shaped circular kind of craft, would fly over the nuclear missile silos and shut all the rockets down, shut the missiles down. And I forget the guy's name right now, but
I'm not sure which one it is.
Yeah.
I say Salas. It's not him. It's not Salas, it's right?
Yeah. It's Robert Salas. Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. That was a traumatic experience for him. I don't think I ever really appreciated it as much as I did last night, because he didn't know what to think of that. This was someone that had no, like, you have a frame of reference for these kind of things. Mm-hmm. But he didn't. He had nothing at that time.
Just, oh, yeah. Think about that. Even back in the day with the Foo Fighters, you know.
Right. Exactly.
It's amazing to me. I still say there were plasma drones, but yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Well, I think there was more than one technology that we were. Mm-hmm.
I think so,
trying
too.
To deal with. Yeah. And I think the people in the United States Air Force didn't even have a frame of reference for what they were dealing with.
No, I don't think so. And the sad part of it is there were only a small group of people, in my opinion, that did have access to the data. And even then, they couldn't decode it. And I think that's one of the reasons that they had the contactees so watched and observed and surveilled and then eventually interconnected into military abductions, because they knew that the contactee had a direct line to off-world species or an experience of some kind where they could move that into a configuration of their department. It's just my impression of it. But yeah, you know, you think about how innocent people have been all along. Just go, and everybody wants to believe that our government, it's not ours, it's a government, a corporation, we're the good guys. You know, we're always doing the right thing. We're always fighting the good fight. That is not the case. There might have been people who believed that who were working there. But for the most part, it was corrupt as hell. And if you didn't keep your mouth shut, you lost your job, your family, your future, you know, your life. For what? So they can control everything and do this right now? Really? After all these years? Wow. That to me is amazing. That's what they're doing, though.
The thing, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I'm probably talking too much.
I have to slow down and like...
I know, you know, I'm not talking very fast right now.
Oh, no. So. I have to like slow down and write things down.
Okay, you know, you have an archive, remember.
I get quiet.
I hope we're live. I don't even know if we're live on air, to be honest with you.
We're on.
Because I've been watching this thing go round and round, and it doesn't look like it's stable.
What thing?
The studio.
Oh, there's something wrong with the studio. There's no doubt. But I got a feeling that my archive will be good.
Okay. Well, if you're recording it on your end, but I don't see you are. But yeah, hopefully it'll be okay.
I'm not recording it myself.
That's all right.
Been really good about recording these, unless something just crashed, which is always possible.
Mm.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I wouldn't doubt it either.
We may have said too much already.
No, not really. They know I'm a big mouth. In a sense of just being truthful, not being like obnoxious or anything.
Have you?
They know I don't hold back.
Have you interviewed Augie? Augie?
Yeah. Augie, oh, no. I'm sorry. I have not. I was going to. I have not interviewed him yet.
He's an expert in the Hanabu.
Yeah, that should be interesting. I'd like to talk to him. That'd be fun.
It'd be great to, you know, and when I think about World War II, I think about the regular guys that were in the little Sherman tanks, the little Sherman tanks that we had that were trying to fight against the Tigers, and were just, you know, they'd kill 10 of our Shermans for every Tiger that we would kill. Mm-hmm. And we won just because we had so many.
You know?
But how many people had to die?
Well, that's just it. There's the casualties of war and the illusion of space-time. Whether that's injury or wounds or just, you know, extermination, it's gone on and on and on. Think about all the people that have died due to illnesses that could have been cured. I mean, like I said before, we have frequencies. If we change the field here, we could change it to a frequency where everybody was healed and they were living perfectly healthy. The environment was clear. This whole green new bull stuff going on is nothing. There's no green new anything. You just change the frequencies and reconfigure everything properly and everybody's okay. They don't want everybody being immortal. They don't want people to have a healthy, productive lives. They want everybody in misery and enslaved. And so, you know, it's just no good.
Yeah, I watched a show on YouTube yesterday about the Vietnam. And the Vietnam, this guy was an artillery guy in Vietnam. And they took them from Vietnam into Cambodia. And before they shipped their equipment to Cambodia. I guess Cambodia at that time was really dangerous. And they basically told these guys, most of you will probably be killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were right up front with them about what they were dealing with. But the whole thing, when they moved to Cambodia, they flew over there, they flew the artillery over there, they set up the artillery. And it was the first or second day there that they felt the ground just start shaking and moving. And they, you know, these guys had no idea what it was, and they asked somebody that had been there for a while. Well, the B-52s had started dropping their bombs.
Mm.
So that's what they were, you know, they were feeling the earth move before they heard the sound of the explosions.
That's about right. Nowadays, you'll hear it before you see it. So where my wiring is, you can hear the transmissions coming through before they even show up in the field, in the airspace. I can anyway. Yeah, I'm wired for that.
So, yeah, I mean, I know, but it's so crazy. What's going on? Let's continue with Stu Peters. At least I'm not listening to Mike Adams tonight, right?
Oh, God, no. No, please don't put him on.
for a so-called insurrection. No, the insurrection occurred on November 3rd of 2020, when the vote was disenfranchised in this country and exposed for the whole world to see, which I believe has been happening since they shot JFK. We have not had a real free and fair election in this country. 2 minutes, final words.
Stu, I'm so glad that we're on the same page, because unlike other folks, you actually say it. You actually say it. The insurrection occurred overnight on November 3rd, 2020. 100% correct. And I'll tell you this, Stu, I caught a little bit of heat because I did an episode on Marjorie Taylor Greene and how she's tiptoeing around and holding hands with Kevin McCarthy pushing this new contract for America. Marjorie Taylor Greene was put into office by the people, okay?
Allegedly
put in office by the people to stand strong and carry the America First agenda against the establishment. You know, she pays more than her minimum amount of dues to the NRCC.
$176,000 receipts going right to the McCarthy-controlled NRCC, which is funding the exact globalist machine that she campaigned and raised a war chest of millions of dollars from blue-collared America First American people to go ahead and fund the same beast that she campaigned in the name of tearing down.
Exactly. Exactly. And now this.
Wow. That's a lot to unpack.
Well, you know, I haven't been tracking that whole scenery other than the fact that I know he finally just got in.
Yeah.
But I don't know much about the guy.
Figure that out. Okay. So they do a tally. They count the votes. He loses. They do a tally. Again, they count the votes. He loses.
It's like cheating at Monopoly, isn't it? You just keep losing. All of a sudden the banker says you win.
Finally, after about 15 times when everybody else went home, now he's winning.
That sounds like the votes. That sounds like the elections. My goodness.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, you know what? The whole system is jacked up. It's not what my ancestors forged.
No.
They would be flipping in their graves.
It's horrible. So. And I really like Marjorie Taylor Greene or whatever.
She's all right. I don't really like her or dislike her. I kind of track her and see what she's up to.
Sounds like she's working on the dark side.
It sounds to me like they're all compromised. If they want to get ahead in that arena, they have to be compromised. You can only get so far. You can be combative and you can sit there and, you know, sit there and challenge them and make it look good. But eventually somebody's going to be shaking hands under the table, and that's what you're seeing, in my opinion. So as I said, that's a sideshow. That's a distraction. What we're dealing with here is a dysfunctional program that is it doesn't serve us in any formula as cosmic beings, which means it has to be reset or neutralized, or something has to change in the perimeter of what it is. And the answer is not aerial warfare and killing everybody on this world. The answer is opening up free energy the right way. And allowing everybody to traverse the galactic highway and go where they want to go and say, hey, I'm going to live over here in this different space-time.
Have you interviewed Dr. Greer yet?
He and I do not mesh. I've never met him, and I don't think that would be a good idea.
Problem?
The problem is he's monitored and copied a lot of my work over the years. He data mines a lot of data and then comes out with it like it's his. So he's like a journalist. He's always looking for a good story. And when he does get one, he has the funding. And it's really amazing to me. He's always doing crowdfunding and raising money. And I'm like, dude, didn't you just buy a bunch of property in Virginia? He's not poor. So why does he need all this money all the time? Where's it going?
Well,
works with the Defense Department quite a bit. And that's one of the reasons I don't like having people in the military say, if they're a military police, they're telling the truth. You are so not educated. If they're in military and they're police, they are not supposed to be communicating the truth to you in any formula. Understand that for one. So don't think that just because they're in the background of military or this, that, and the other, they're going to tell you the truth when they're on the air. That is a crock. That is a crock. That's one of the reasons I never have a lot of those people on, because I know damn well they can't talk about a lot of stuff. And if they are talking, most of it's not accurate.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because
it's true.
I was watching one of his shows. Actually, I was grabbing some clips from one of his shows, and then I noticed his movies, like Sirius and all those things. Like, he has this big, at the beginning of it, this big FBI disclaimer, like, this is private, you know, this is copyrighted material. Whatever. I'm like, well, that's what I'm saying. If he's really wanting to get the information out, get the word out, why doesn't he open it up? Why is he taking that stand?
He's handled by them. You know what? I said it before. They have all these departments now that are doing anomaly investigations connected to the Defense Department and Space Force. And now they're trying to take the helm over anyone or anything who's doing independent investigation of anomalies. Well, that's my background plus of my experience and interconnection with technology. So, yeah, it's all one big game board, and I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. Maybe some little fractal of him is trying to do good, and I'm sure there is a good part of him in there. But from what I've seen, it's all game show, man. And he has too many friends in that arena that are backstabbing SOBs that I would never trust as far as I can throw.
So, kind of. Sometimes he almost seems a little childish.
I think he's programmed it. Yeah, you can see it in his face. You can see the programming. I could decode people in like less than 5 seconds, man. You put me in a room with people, I'll profile them better than any FBI agent.
Wow.
Not kidding. Because of where I've been with the tech. The tech can also create facial expressions. Okay. It's a mimic program. It creates all kinds of things under, depending on what they're communicating.
I try to think the best of people. I try to, you know.
Oh, I don't even, I'm like, you know, that neutral positive. I have stolen it from you and Billy Meyer. I am neutral positive. I do the best I can to be neutral positive with people, but I also decode them and see them for what they really are. And after where I've been with all this tech, these people wouldn't touch me with a 10-foot pole about the technology, but they're the first ones to try to derail it or talk something other than that. And I'm thinking, if you guys really wanted the truth, you'd be talking about the same stuff I'm talking about and how it's destroyed so many lives over the years and how the misuse of these electronic warfare systems is an abomination and a war crime. And that's how I know who's telling the truth and who's bought and sold by the highest bitch. Excuse me, my French.
All right, let's continue.
Okay.
She's running around with them. She was recently asked on a show, are you going to vote for Kevin McCarthy for Speaker of the House? And I've never seen a bigger dodge to a question than this one. And she goes, well, gosh, Kevin's the only one who's announced that he wants to be Speaker. So we'll sit and wait and see. But Republicans need to come together. Marjorie sold out for committee seats, for fundraising money, and for power. That's what she sold out for. Screw the everyday American people who had a little bit of faith in her.
I think she did sell out. I don't know for sure, but I think so.
You know, it's really funny how they say it's the everyday American people. That's going to be your death sentence if you consider yourself one of those. I've said it before. Know thyself. Know your identity. And if you just think you're a regular sheeple, then that's all you're ever going to be, a worker. But if you know you're something more than that, then get out of the configuration. It's my opinion. But yeah, I don't trust her. Like I said, I watch her on Twitter a lot, running her mouth. And then I saw that time she was being, they were talking to her and she was answering, I don't have any recall. Basically, she was giving it back to them. She was lying on her oath. Not really lying. She was evading. And but every comment I'm sure you saw that was, I don't recall. I mean, it was like, really? Okay. It's just like the games that are being played. It's like, I don't have time to watch this crap. You people are benefiting financially from the ancestors, my ancestors, who literally created that place you go in there and try to create laws from. I could evict them due to my bloodline. I could walk in there and say, you're all fired. But one thing is good. Slur of the House is no more. And that's good. We're so tired of Pelosi. But the bottom line is, you know, she goes away unscathed. Unfortunately, she should have been prosecuted.
She was criminal. The highest level evil.
Well, you know, she's going to go in a nursing home, so she'll probably have some weird, weird thing happen. You know, she's half dead anyway. She's running on electronics, and that's about it. So,
do you think she'll be dead?
I don't know. She's, you know, her husband's a joke, and she's kind of, she's messed up. So God only knows who's going to be taking care of them.
Isn't her husband, like, a gay alcoholic or something?
I don't know what he is. I just remember that whole incident out there, and
yeah,
it's just kind of strange stuff going on. That whole dysfunctional family, they have ghosts in their closet. I'm sure quite a few
big ghosts.
Yeah, skeletons, ghosts, whatever you want to call them. Yeah. Like, but it's nice not to have her there anymore. Oh, we're doing this. Oh yeah, we want people to pick our fruits, and that's why the border's wide open. I'm sorry, she's just freaking crazy.
She is. Yeah.
She sold out to the machine.
Catch In the Trenches with Teddy Daniels, Rumble, the Stu Peters Network, always at StuPeters.com. Always a pleasure having you. Every single American ought to be absolutely pissed off about this. Your money. Nobody has just extra money just laying around. I don't have any under my couch cushions. I don't have any blow money. There's not money just coming in here. I don't have any beer money. I don't have any extra money to take the kids and go do things. Nobody does anymore. The only
Stu wants some beer.
I don't know about that. I'm sorry, but I have a feeling that boy has a good bank account. He's not hurting.
The only people getting richer are the elites, the public servants that are supposed to be representatives of the people. Every one of these people who's campaigning for fake elections.
You know what happens to people like them when they leave this world? And I say this with I'm not saying this in a negative fashion. When they die, after they do all this fighting and they're fighting the good fight and they're standing up and they leave and they go, who was I? What did I do? What's here? What's happened? That's how it is. Okay. Keep that in mind.
That's crazy.
That means that nothing matters unless you make a big, big change of your life and break orbit.
All right. We're going to hear a little bit more about Kevin McCarthy, your favorite guy.
In the ranks is going to be a tool. And since 2006, he has stood by and allowed these wars of aggression, the bankster looting, and the constant official lies. I don't know where this theater is going to go, but that interview showing the disharmony was telling. If a coalition of members of Congress among the Republicans stands to refuse McCarthy to be able to get that position, I am entirely for it. I would be for stronger people getting on the news in order to hit back and saying that McCarthy and be able to demonstrate that McCarthy is a tool of an empire.
Brian, your thoughts?
Well, I actually watched this live last night and I was sickened by Hannity. I normally won't.
Oh, Hannity's the worst, isn't he?
I don't watch him.
I can't watch him either. I don't watch
him. He reminds me of a Flintstone for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of looks like that Flintstone character. Yeah.
Like a cartoon character.
Yep.
Yeah. Crazy.
Watch Hannity. I normally won't give him 2 seconds of my time. I gave up on him a long, long time ago as he bloviates about all the things he thinks he knows and understands about D.C. It's like the same mouth chattering away. You know who he reminds me of now? And he reminded me of it last night. Reminds me of Bill O'Reilly. Just like Bill O'Reilly. Remember what... If you are out there, go to YouTube and find the interview with Jim Fetzer and Bill O'Reilly about 9/11. And you'll see who Bill O'Reilly really was. He was a machine designed to support and endorse the narrative. Another empty-minded talking head that couldn't do any critical thinking, but had very good verbal skills and very good debate skills and was able to go out there and just railroad and overrun anybody. Now, this is Lauren Boebert. I got a lot of respect for anybody in Congress that has any principles.
I want to hear just a little bit of that again.
Mm-hmm.
Just railroad and overrun anybody. Now, this is Lauren Boebert. I got a lot.
Bill O'Reilly is the guy he was talking about.
Mm-hmm. And you'll see who Bill O'Reilly really was.
He's another one of these people that's very evil. I think he's
listen to any other shows. I don't follow.
I can't.
People.
I don't watch him anymore.
It's
I
not
just
my
get
thing.
I get a clip now and then, secondhand. That's all I get. I just can't. It's just too much of it. It's so unhealthy. I think that's the key.
It's toxin. It's toxic as hell.
Exactly. Good point.
Do any critical thinking, but had very good verbal skills and very good debate skills, and was able to go out there and just railroad and overrun anybody. Now, this is Lauren Boebert. I got a lot of respect for anybody in Congress that has any principles. What I see happening right now in there is a whole bunch of slick, spineless weed.
Is that your dog?
It's a Ryan, yeah.
Okay.
It's the same for dog.
It's hard to tell who's talking about.
That are looking for committee appointments and looking for handouts and looking, how am I going to get this? How am I going to get that? What has Kevin McCarthy done to walk around and buy off all these different votes, convincing all these people? Because he hasn't run any big major committees. It's not like he's the head of the Agriculture Committee on Biotechnology or the Appropriations Committee on Defense. It's not like he's done anything like that. And he's, by the way, he's just a speaker. There's a whole bunch of other very important roles in the House. I am horrified of the uniparty just simply saying, oh, here's the gavel. Let's move it to the next guy. And then the next guy's the one sitting in Nancy Pelosi's shoes saying, hey, we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. I want the American people to have a certain modicum of debate. But at this point in time, I believe that the only person that I can identify that's qualified to be a House Speaker that would do a good job is going to be Jim Jordan. I'm sorry, Jim may not want.
I like Jim
Actually,
Jordan.
Actually, I like Jim Jordan too, and that would be a good call. I agree with that.
He's from Ohio.
Yeah, he seems good. He's pretty honest, and he seems to be aware of a lot of things. So that's why he won't be the House Speaker.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think Stu's going to yell here. So he usually yells, so be ready.
Lives ended prematurely by the Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson bioweapon injections that they were pressured to take by our government, or by our corporations and our military and our hospitals. It looks like we'll have stories to share for a long time, sadly. According to a new Rasmussen poll, 28% of Americans believe that they personally know someone who died suddenly after getting a COVID shot. And sadly, the family of Derek McIntosh are numbered among that 28%. Derek died 1 year ago yesterday at the young age of just 41 years old, 6 days after getting his second Pfizer shot. Now, for the record, Derek never wanted to get vaccinated. But as the single father to a 17-year-old son, he had to work. And his employer, Kurt Manufacturing, mandated the jab for all employees. Now, even if Derek had sought a religious exemption, he'd have had to pay for mandatory PCR tests and would have had to wear a mask every minute of every day at work. According to Derek's father, Kurt Manufacturing imposed the mandate because they had several contracts with the federal government, and the Biden administration tried to compel the shot for all companies receiving government contracts. Get the shot or you don't get the contracts. Just 2 weeks after Derek's vaccination, the Supreme Court threw out that requirement. By then, it was too late. According to Derek's sister, the first Pfizer shot made him feel sick for several days. He also complained about a racing heart. He even told his sister that while he felt better after a few days, quote, the second shot might kill me. He might have just been making a dark joke at the time. But it turns out it wasn't a joke at all. On the morning of December 28, 2021, Derek stopped at a CVS inside of a Target store after work to get his second shot. When he left work that day, he seemed completely normal. But essentially, the moment that he got the Pfizer jab, everything fell apart. He became nauseous. He developed a fever. Within a couple of days, he was throwing up, bleeding from his nose, and couldn't get out of bed. He described having strange pain in his feet, like tiny pinpricks, which he had never felt before. Most disturbingly, he told his sister over the phone that he felt like a person gripped by epileptic seizures. Eventually, Derek called an ambulance for himself at 1 a.m. on January 4th. By 6 a.m., he was dead. According to doctors, Derek's entire body was ravaged with blood clots, which eventually caused a heart attack that killed him. According to the family, an autopsy that they wanted, that they requested, was never performed. And while the initial death certificate listed the COVID shot as the secondary cause of death, the final version signed by a medical examiner did not. That was 1 year ago. Now the McIntosh family is fighting back. They want the whole world to know what happened to their son, and they want to save other families from the same tragedy. They're also hoping that Derek's son, Calvin, will be able to finish high school in the town and house where he grew up. And to that end, the family has raised funds on GoFundMe to support Calvin now that his father is gone. You can find that fundraiser by searching Calvin McIntosh on GoFundMe. Please consider donating if you're so able. Jeffrey McIntosh is Derek's father, and he joins us now. Jeffrey, thank you so much for being here. We're so terribly sorry for what happened to your son.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. This in our eyes.
I think we're out of time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mark.
See you later.
Thank you. Take care. Bye, everybody.
Revolution Radio. travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday.